Good morning. How is everybody? Good. Can we just give God a hand for all that he has done here? We've already thanked our volunteers. We thanked Freedom House. And I think it's obviously incredibly important to recognize that that without God and his grace in our lives, this gathering wouldn't happen. And I'm actually going to take a step further and possibly I'm going to start this Christmas service with an offense. I decided I'm going to be me this service. I had a critique last year that I wasn't fully me. I didn't offend enough. And so I have to correct that and make up for last year's lack of offending people. So let me start off with this. Whether you believe in God or not, whether you got dragged here by a spouse or a friend or manipulated, or the person you're with is just prettier than you, and so you decided to come with them, I believe that God, yeah, there's like four or five guys in the room right now like, he's talking to me. I believe God has orchestrated this morning possibly just for you. Whether you believe in him or not, I believe that he knows your story. He knows your steps. He knows about all of the stress in your life and in your family. And every single Christmas, we have an opportunity to remember what he did to be a part of that family, to be a part of that stress, to be a part of your story. And so today, that's what I'm going to talk about. My name's Danny. I'm one of the pastors here at Kesset Church, and as Jesse already pointed out, rarely do we get to see the whole Kesset family together in one service, and I wish you could see from my perspective, because it's an incredible thing to be able to see all of you out there, and it just means a lot to my heart that we can gather, and not only gather, but we can gather and make this gathering about Jesus and ultimately about someone else, and that's going to be One Life. That's what we're going to talk about here towards the end of my message. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 20. I'm going to put a couple verses on the screen. If you didn't bring a Bible, don't worry about it. Just follow along. This is the story of Jesus Christ. This is the celebration of his birth. This is why we're all here today. Luke chapter 2, verse 1 says, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them." I'm here today simply because of my love for Jesus Christ, the child I just told you that was born 2,000 years ago, because of two primary things, and I'm just going to confess those to you right now. I'm here because Jesus loves me, and I'm here because Jesus helps me. Now, I get to sit with a lot of people, unfortunately a lot of people in crisis, and I want to let you know something, especially during holiday seasons, which is a tough season for a lot of people because it reminds them of family lost or a life that could have been. And they'll sit with me, and oftentimes they are successful people. They are brilliant people at their job. They are brilliant interpersonal people. They're brilliant people even relationally. But spiritually, they struggle. There's a part of their lives that is missing because they don't have the love and the help of Jesus Christ. This whole thing works because people know the love and help of Jesus Christ. And so they want to then in their own lives go and love and help other people. Now, I don't know every story in this room, but I started off my offensive sermon with sharing that Jesus does. That he does know every story in this room. That he does know those of you who are too prideful now to even listen to me, who are wondering how tall I am in real life when I get off this stage, who are wondering who are wondering if this is my real hair, as someone said, which would be so weird if it wasn't. I'm 37 years old. Could you imagine every morning putting on a, this is real. This is real. I don't know your story, but I know that Jesus does know your story. And I can tell you this, beyond the shadow of a doubt, if you do not know God and he is not central in your life, then spiritually you are bankrupt. No matter how powerful you are at work, no matter how well you do relationally, no matter how strong internally you are, if God is not center of your world, you're bankrupt. Because without the help of God, then you will get wish-washed around this life eventually. Maybe not now, maybe not yet, but eventually. This is why Christ came to the world, because we left to ourselves hurt ourselves. Christmas is about recentering. Christmas is about refocusing. Christmas is about remembering there is someone who loves me deeply. Beyond my understanding, my first point for the screen is that God's love is beyond my ability to understand. Beyond my ability to understand. You know, most of us, the story of Christ and how God sent his son in the story I just read as a baby child who would later be sacrificed, who would later die for the sins of the world in order to relationally restore us, to bring us back to center, to bring harmony to our lives with his love and his help. This is the story of the Messiah, of the Christ. This is the story that you and I must plug into if we are gonna live fulfilled lives in all aspects of who we are as men and women, as children of God. But God's love, first off, is beyond my understanding. Recently, one of my children for about 6 hours had something, one of my daughters had something internally that was going wrong with her, and it looked like she might end up with some sort of an appendicitis or something that we weren't sure, but she couldn't really move, and she was not able to hold down food, and she couldn't really stand up. And there was about a six-hour period there where we thought we might have to go to the hospital, just as this happened just in the last few days. And I remember sitting with her, and I remember thinking in my mind, if I could just take that pain from you, I would do it instantly. I hate this. She was scared. She was asking questions about surgery and you know, whether or not she was going to get a shot and how the needles were going to feel going into her skin and touching her bone. It was like she had this. I was like, oh, God, Lord, I can't do this. I can't watch her suffer like this. Think about that. Think about the children in this room when you read this verse that oftentimes is just a tattoo or a bumper sticker, but not actually anything that means something to us. But think about it in that context. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Put the point up one more time, please. God's love is beyond my ability to understand. God gave his son. I can guarantee you right now, I love every person in this room, but I would not give up my daughter for you. That's offend you? That's offend you? Good. This is an offensive Christmas service. And I can guarantee you, I know a lot of the dads, I won't speak for moms, but I know a lot of the dads in this room, there's not a dad in this room who's given up his kid for me, pastor or not. He'd be like, listen, you preach good, but you're going to die. Right? If that came down to the, be like, at least you know you're going to heaven, but this one's for me. This is just reality. But God, the God who could snap his fingers and defeat any foe that would ever come against his family, decides that his love for me is so big and so deep and so wide that he is willing to give up his only son because of how much he loves me. God's love is beyond my ability to understand. Romans 5:8 talks about this when it says that God commanded his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I like this idea of God commanding his love. It's almost as if his love refused to go. It's almost as if God was like, all right, I'm going to give up my son whom I love for these people who will turn their backs on me, for these people who will not trust me, for these people who will go to a Christmas event, fold their arms and go, how long till I can have a cupcake? And can I eat it on the train? That's what I really want to know. I can? I love this church. But God commands his love. He sends his love out. It's almost like his love said, whoa, that's not what I do. I love children. Fathers love their children. Fathers, I don't do this. God says, go. I command my love out into this broken world. It's unbelievable, for God's love is beyond my ability to understand. This love was so extensive that it brought healing salvation for broken men and broken women for all eternity. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If you do not know Christ, if you do not know this level of love, I don't know your background, I don't know where you come from, but I know that God does. And I know this too, that in this book that I'm teaching today is the only deity that died for you. You can believe in whatever system you want, whatever structure that was passed down through your family structure, but this is the only book where God came and died for his children through his son, through himself, and sacrificed his life. Without Christ, there is no salvation, and you can be offended about that all day long. But Christmas belongs to Jesus, not to you. It's not your birthday. You ever been to a birthday party? I had a friend one time who came to a birthday party of mine. He's actually here today. He brought me a gift, and he brought himself a gift. He's here today. I grew up with this kid since I was 2 years old. He brought me a G.I. Joe, and then he goes, you like it? That's cool, because I bought myself the same one. I wasn't offended, right? I remember my mom being like, that's not normal, right? But every single Christmas, the reality is we come to the birthday party for Jesus, and we celebrate ourselves. This is not your birthday. This is not your holiday. It's salvation that we celebrate, and so it's salvation in Jesus that we talk about. I said that God's love is beyond my ability to understand. The second and only other second thing I want to point out today is that the reality of Christ's love in my life has changed everything, because now I have a helper. I need a helper. And I'm a pretty A-type driven person. Maybe that's why I need a helper so much. But I need a helper. I'm not good at this life. I'm good at aspects of this life. And my tendency is to lean into the things I'm good at and avoid the things I'm not. I'm not really good at intimacy. I'm not really good at hard talks where people compliment me. I blow them off and I make really quick jokes, right? So I lean into humor. I lean into other areas, and I try to stay inside that area. Relationally, I guarantee every person in this room has a strength area in their personality they primarily lean into. Christ is able to cover all areas of your brokenness and success. Christ, through his Holy Spirit, through the helper that has come, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is able to bless you and to guide you and to support you. 1 John 2:1 says this, my dear children, I write this letter to you so you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have a helper in the presence of the Father, Jesus Christ, the one who does what is right. Jesus comes to fill the gap. Jesus comes to make the cacophony of your life into a symphony of sound. He comes to bring and bridge the difference. He comes to make up what you're lacking and what I'm lacking. He does this not only through his Holy Spirit, but he also does this through his Holy Spirit prompting his children to work together to accomplish things like today. This is all guided and orchestrated by the Holy Spirit. These are all people who said, I need to take off a few days of work because God wants me to be there to serve. There are people who took vacation days to come and set this up over the last 48 hours. Amazing. That's not good preaching or good leadership or good vision. That's a good Holy Spirit. That's what that is. John 13:34-35 says this, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. This love and help of Jesus has always met all of my realities, whether it's personally through the Holy Spirit or through the Holy Spirit prompting somebody else. This Holy Spirit, this helper, has always met every single one of my realities. The reality of my loneliness, the reality of my depression, the reality of my fear, of my anxiety, the reality that I don't know if I'll measure up, the reality that I don't know if I'll be good enough, the reality that I'm not sure I'm living my life as useful as I should be, that I'm accomplishing what I can or should, the reality of hatred, the reality of my unforgiveness, and like we're going to talk about today, even the reality of hunger. The Holy Spirit, through his people, is the greatest helper you'll ever need. He's the only helper you'll ever need. And if you don't have him, that's why you're spinning and repeating the same thing over and over and over again. And friends, that's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing, getting the same result over and over and over again, approaching your marriage the same way, ending up with the same frustrated spouse. approaching your children the same way, ended up with the same frustrated children, approaching work, approaching life, approaching finances, approaching well-being, approaching wholeness, the same way you always have, never finding wholeness is insane. It is the Holy Spirit and his helper and a belief in Jesus Christ that brings all things into harmony. For the Holy Spirit is my healer. From this relationship with Christ, I in return have decided that I want to spend my life helping others. Most of us in this room know what Christmas is about, and we do give gifts and we do like to help people, but we often don't know how to do it in an effective or efficient way, and that's kind of what birthed this entire event. See, every year in a church congregation, whether you go to a little church or a big church, the biggest single giving of that church is usually right about the Sunday before Christmas, or what we call Christmas Sunday. That's usually when people, they do their end of the year giving, they just have a mindset to give. And since we planted this church body, we made a commitment that every single year we would give away the biggest single offering of our church, no strings attached. No strings attached. And so we raised money for the last 6 weeks to pay for everything here. Every single thing here was paid for by someone from Kesed Church so that we could gather and we could now give an offering, no strings attached. Whatever goes in the basket goes to the One Life, the people that we're talking about today, fully no strings attached at all, because we have a helper, and so in return we want to be helpers. Here's why I chose One Life this year. When I was 11 years old, my family got sponsored by a local school for Christmas, and I remember this distinctly. I didn't grow up in a very affluent family. I grew up financially, our family struggled, and I remember one year being told a month before Christmas that we got chosen by a local elementary school and to fill out a list of all the things I wanted for Christmas. I remember getting drug at 11 years old. I'm the oldest of four, so I was the one. My brothers and sisters were like, "Wah!" And I was like, "Oh, this is, I'm the poor kid that gets drug in front of the whole school as each kid comes up and hands me a gift because they drew my name 3 weeks earlier." And it was a blessing, and it was a great Christmas. I got over it fast. I mean, I had a lot of stuff at the end. But I'll never forget kind of the shame that I felt because of the blessing. Here's what I like about One Life. One Life both loves and helps people, but they do it in a dignified way. One Life exists to feed and equip people in our community and to break the cycles of poverty, to serve our at-risk community with love, acceptance, respect, dignity, and compassion, as well as facilitating access to social services for those who are at risk of poverty in our community by partnering with other governmental, community, nonprofit, or educational agencies in Clark County, Washington. One Life exists to feed people. And so that's what we're going to talk about here in just a moment. Before I play their video and I have them come up and we'll do a short interview, I want to be real clear, though, that even if you give today financially, even if you put a bunch of money into that bucket, that does not assure that you have Christ in your life, that you are now a good person. The only way that you can actually know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you've accepted your calling in life is to fully make God the center of your life. And so I would be I wouldn't be as offensive as I could be if I didn't give you an opportunity to accept Jesus right now. So I'm going to ask every head to bow. Every head to bow. If you have never accepted Christ in your life, if you have never made him the center of who you are, if you are tired of living your life the same way over and over and over and over again, if you are fearful of the future, if you are fearful of what's to come, if you are bogged down by shame, bogged down by mistakes, if you are someone who is tired of the rut that is your existence, then perhaps you need to raise your eyes upon Jesus. And so if you would like to accept Christ in your life, pray this prayer with me right now. Dear Jesus, it's me. I know you've been waiting for this for a long time. I'm finally tired of doing it on my own. And so I recognize you as my God, as my saving relational King. I ask forgiveness for my failures, for my brokenness, for sins. And I ask that you would restore me back into a harmonious place with you through your Holy Spirit. I recognize your love for me. I recognize that you want to help me. And I surrender my life to you now. In Jesus' most precious name, amen. Please take a second, enjoy this video, and then we'll interview one life. Take our offering, and then let the festivities begin.